Always enjoy hearing Miss Christie sing and play. And we'll finish out our series on prayer. And we had a wonderful service yesterday for Miss Pat. And really, like Pastor said yesterday, it was a celebration of a great lady's life that is not over. By the way, when you die, your life is not over. Matter of fact, it's just beginning. But also, what you leave behind continues on. And she left an impression upon my heart, and just as many people that pass on do. And so you always leave something behind, and I appreciate... man, Harry did a good job preaching his mom's funeral. I prayed for him, and I prayed for him, and the Lord definitely was on him and was working through him. I can't imagine how hard that must have been. By the way, if you got the Holy Spirit of God preaching through you, it's not that hard. You just got to let Him have it, and let Him have your body and let Him use it. And same what I do tonight. Prayer tonight, the power of prayer, the power of prayer. And that's what we'll be talking about tonight. James chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 13 through the end of the chapter. Now, I realize that if you've read the book of James, when you get to the end of it, you kind of go, you kind of go, well, what is that talking about? How James ends the book? And I've read so many commentary on this. I've actually studied this one for about a month now just to get myself prepared. And it seemed like the more, by the way, I've realized this, the more I study, the dumber I really am. I don't know if that's good English, but the more I study, the more I realize I don't know. Amen. I don't know anything. I mean, I'm just, you know, but I love God's Word, and I love studying God's Word, and I love when God lets you read His Word, and He gives you understanding right when you need it. And that's just amazing to me how the Holy Spirit enlightens us at the time when we need to have understanding. And I believe that the Lord's given me some understanding here that I've never had before. And I'm very thankful to Him for that. And I want you to think about when you get to the end of the chapter, James does not start in chapter 5 with a new thought. He continues the thought that he began in chapter 1. In chapter 1, you read verse 1, it says, "And to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad." So we know that the audience of James' letter is the Jews. And it's the Jews who are scattered abroad. Now you go back and you read, I want to guess, don't quote me on this, but I think it's Acts 6 and Acts 7. You see that where the Jews were being persecuted beyond measure, that they're being run out of Jerusalem and they're spreading in different directions because of the very harsh persecution that they were suffering from the hands of the Romans and the hands of all the enemies of God at that time. Matter of fact, some of the persecution was coming from the religious crowd. Hello. By the way, you stand up for truth and for the Bible today, not only is the world going to hate you, but those who are so-called religious people are going to hate you if you tell the truth. There are a lot of people in this world that don't want you to tell the truth that are religious organizations. And I'm not going to get on those. But up till now, we are going to have a light show tonight. I hope you all enjoy it. There's nothing you can do about it, is it, Reed? I mean, it's not. He's not even doing nothing back here. It would be cool if you could make them dance as I sing, or as I preach. I'll sing if you'll do it. But so just overlook those. Thank God I still got most of my hair, and the reflection ain't that bad yet. So... but anyway, it'll get there. But here James is giving us a lesson. When he gets to the end of the chapter, he's still speaking to that persecuted crowd of Jews. He's still speaking to those who have been at the point of death, that have been at the hands of the worldly system and have been persecuted. And by the fact, if you read the book of James, he talks about let the trying of your faith worketh patience and all these things. And let it bring joy when you go through these diverse temptations. And by the way, I don't know about you, but I need the book of James because I go through those times of trials and testings, don't you? And here's what James says: when you're in the midst of these trials and testings, show forth your salvation through your works. And matter of fact, if you look at most of this, he talks about verse 10. He talks about the sufferings and affliction. Have it with patience. He said, verse 11, he said, "Behold, we count them happy which what? Endure." He said that endure. He says that you've heard of the patience of Job. He says that, you're going to have to endure these things, and not for your salvation. You're going to have to endure them because this is the trial that Christians are going to have to go through. Now, he gets to verse 13. He's still talking about this. And we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. I want you to look, if you will. Verse 13 says, is any among you afflicted? Remember who he's talking to. To the Jews that have been persecuted and that are being persecuted beyond measure. He says, is there any among you that are afflicted? Well, he said, let him pray. By the way, that's great advice. Any of us who face the time of affliction, the time of trials and temptations and persecutions, guess what our greatest thing that we can do is pray. You ever told anybody, all I can do for you is pray? You ever said that and walk away going, that was dumb of me? Because that's the greatest thing I can do for you. I may not be able to open my wallet and give you the money that you need, but I guarantee I can get on my knees, and that's far greater than any money I could give you. I could come, and yes, there's times when we have to help out. I'm glad we went to Miss Bandy's house. It brought joy to my heart to be able to go over there to help her out. I'm glad for that, but you know what? Greater than we do on her house, we can pray for her. But here's what he says. He says, is any married? The opposite spectrum. He says, are any afflicted? All right, he says, is there any afflicted? So we talk about afflicted. And then he says, is there any merry? What does that mean? That means happy and joyous. He says, here's what he ought to do. He ought to sing a psalm. Look at that. By the way, what's sing a psalm? What does that mean? Sing psalms, what does that mean? It means to give praise. By the way, if you're having a great day, you ought to praise him for it. By the way, sometimes when we're having those afflicted days, it's not too hard to pray, is it? But I want to tell you, the hardest thing that we have as Christians is when we have those merry days, we fail to say, Lord, thank you for letting me have a good day. Lord, thank you that I woke up this morning and did this. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Sorry, no, that wasn't it. Some of you wake up to that smell of that coffee. You ought to thank God. You wake up to the sound of your kids. You ought to be thankful. You wake up to a house over you. You ought to be thankful. You go out and get in that car and crank it up. You ought to be thankful. You wake up and you look across the bed and your wife's there. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful that God has given you strength enough to rise out of that bed and to go to work and be thankful when you get to work. Because there's a lot of people that don't have those things called jobs. That's my daughter. She's looking for a job. We got to get her a job. She's graduating now. Big girl time. Amen. You know, I'm very thankful that God has blessed me with the health He's blessed me with. We take for granted the good things in life, don't we? But here's what he said next. Look, if you will. Verse 14 says, is any sick among you? Now, we're going to study this out here in a little bit. It's not necessarily just talking about a physical sickness, such as if I had the stomach virus. It's not necessarily talking about that. If you look up the word sick, it means to be weak, feeble, or diseased. So it could not just mean that somebody is physically sick. It could mean that maybe they're mentally sick. Why in the world would James be talking to people who are mentally sick? Why would he be talking to people that are depressed? Well, because they've been persecuted. You get persecuted, by the way, your body will break down, but also your mind breaks down. And James is saying, hey, is there any among you that are afflicted? Yeah, there's those. Are there any among you that are married? This is what he ought to do. But he says, is there any among you that are sick? I believe that it could talk about the vast majority of people who have sicknesses, sure. By the way, I'll get it in a minute. It says, here's what he should do. Let him call for the elders of the church. By the way, who are the elders? That's pastors. Let him call for the spiritual leaders of the church. Hello? We don't do that anymore. You know why? We have the John Wayne approach to sicknesses and depression. I got this on my own, right? I'll just ride this one out. And our world has said, well, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's the wrong mentality. Now, if things aren't going your way, yeah, sure, pull up your bootstraps, put your suspenders on and go to work, right? But here's the thing is that sometimes, by the way, you ought to read some of the quotes from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of the earth as far as a preacher. He was called the Prince of Preachers. But you know one thing that Spurgeon faced was deep depression. And he spent days and sometimes months of not getting up out of his bed and speaking to anyone, not coming to the pulpit and preaching, because he faced those times of not just physical sickness, but mental sickness. And some of us even face spiritual sickness during those times. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But here he says, let them pray over him, anointing him with essential oils. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what that said. In the name of the Lord. By the way, that's the most powerful name there is. If you're going to pray over somebody, you ought to pray over them. And the anointing of the oil, we'll talk about what that is here in a little bit, is just recognizing that He is Lord. That He's in control of this situation. Whether somebody's physically, mentally, spiritually sick, it doesn't matter. He's still Lord. And He's going to work His will in their life. We've gotten a little section of our society that, especially if you get a television or get a camera in front of them, that believe that they can do this and that and they're healed. That is not what this scripture is talking about. We've said this many times. If Benny Hinn can heal, let's take him down to Cook's Children's Hospital. And you know what they would say? Well, the reason they didn't get healed is because they didn't believe. Yeah, I like how we always have an excuse for everything, don't we? But here's the thing, it's not up to Benny Hinn to heal somebody. It's not up to Michael Wiggins or Pastor Eric Crawford. It's not up to Brother Kelly Clark to heal somebody. It's up to the Lord whether it's His will to heal them or not. And we're just to pray over them and then give it to the Lord. It's in His hands. Now notice what else he says in verse 15. He says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now here it is, notice this. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven of him. Sometimes, sin puts you in a place of sickness. You know what the Lord said when we come to the Lord's table? He said, to examine yourself. He said, that way you don't take of the Lord's supper unworthily, because he said, there's some among you who are sick. Right? Amen. Nod your heads. Don't get scared. There are some. Now, what's the scientist people? Tom Cruise is one of them. Scientology. I don't believe if you're sick, it's always sin. And it's always a sin problem. But that's not always true. When Job had the boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, it wasn't because of his sin. It's because of God allowing him to go through that trial. But here's what he said, that his sins will be forgiven to him. Now he said, confess your faults one to another. He's still talking to the brethren, by the way. And pray one for another. By the way, that should be the easiest thing that we could do for each other. That you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we'll read the rest of it here in just a moment. But prayer tonight, the power of prayer. The power of prayer. If you notice the next thing. The first thing tonight, I want you to notice the activation of this power. We're talking about the power of prayer, the activation of this power. Notice verse 15. Notice verse 15, it says, and the prayer of, say it with me, faith. And the prayer of faith. Here's what the Bible says about faith. Matthew 17:20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, that's the lack of faith or the absence of faith, for verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. The problem a lot of times when we pray for people, we don't activate the power of that prayer. Why? Because a lot of times we go in there thinking, well, it's over, but I'm going to pray anyway because that's what I'm supposed to do. How would you feel that if it was your loved one you're praying for, how much faith would you have compared to when it's somebody else's family? You know, By the way, we can't, God's not going to work outside His will. We know that. God's will is going to be done. But I believe God wants us to fellowship with Him through prayer and us asking Him, Lord, would You do this? And believing that He will do this. By the way, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The activation of power in prayer is only activated by what? Faith. By the way, you can spray as much lighter fluid on charcoal as you want, but it ain't going to cook your ribs. Or your chicken, or your pork chops, whatever you like to cook. You got to have a spark. Right? You can lay prostrate all you want. You can call out to God all you want. But listen, until you put that activation in there, until you put faith in there, that there is no power in prayer. We get these little gift cards all the time. We love gift cards. And a lot of times you get these cards and you got to activate them. You got to call that number and it activates them. You can go out there with one of those cards that says to activate this card, call blah, 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 and give them this code. You can go to every store, even though I got a card that says on there, a gift for Wiggins family, $100. I cannot get a hold of that $100 until I do what the card says, and that means activate it. God has given us the avenue of prayer, but if we don't activate the power that lies in prayer by faith, our prayers are just going, they're just words. By the way, why would you waste your time coming to God if you didn't believe that He could do it? You're wasting time. Don't come to Him and go, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if You can do this or not. If you have that attitude, you're wasting your time and you're wasting God's time, so to speak. We have to come to Him believing. By the way, the most heartbreaking thing as a child is to think you heard your parents say that they were getting you something that they really weren't going to get you. And go in there and it's Christmas time, you wake up, you're like, woo-hoo. It's disappointing, ain't it? To go in there and you had all faith that they got something you thought you heard them say because, you know, you had the cup up against the door when they were wrapping your gifts. And we lived in a trailer back in those days. Those doors were so thin you could hear without a glass. You could sit in the living room and hear what they were talking about getting you for Christmas. But, boy, it was so heartbreaking. But listen to me, when God hears your prayer through faith, He answers according to His will. He never disappoints you. Let me give you the second thing. Notice this, the activation of this prayer. The activation of this prayer. Notice what He says. The prayer of faith. Shall I say, well, let me go on down. I got to read y'all this. I thought this was funny. Please don't get mad at me. So I have a bunch of prayer quotes that I use, you know, and there's a website I go to. And today I said, well, I'm going to look for some more prayer quotes. And I usually like looking at, you know, Spurgeon says a lot of great things and all these other guys. Well, today I found one by Joel Osteen. And I wanted to give it to you because it was expiring. I said expiring. Here it is. Here's his quote. Here's the question. You know, what about prayer? And here's what different people wrote. Here's what he wrote. I'm quoting. I'm healthy as can be. Not an ache or pain. A lot of my prayer is thanking the Lord that I'm healthy. I pray for a long life and good health. Joel Osteen. Okay. That didn't answer anything for me. Then you read, here's Jonathan Edwards. Prayer is as natural an expression of faith as breathing is of life. That's what I need to hear. I could care less about, you know, I'm healthy as a horse. I mean, okay, great. Thank the Lord for that. But I'm asking about prayer. Here's what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said. If you believe in prayer at all, expect God to hear. If you do not expect, you will not have. God will not hear you unless you believe He will hear you. But if you believe He will be as good as your faith. Here's the thing is that your prayer will never rise above the level of your faith. The activation of your prayer. I've got to move on. Number two. Number two is the associate of this prayer. The associate of this prayer. Notice, if you will, I got to keep moving. Verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. That's a great thing. Here it is. The effectual, fervent prayer, here it is, of a righteous man availeth much. Who is the associate of this power? Well, he activates it through prayer, through faith. He activates the power through faith. Who is that man? He is the man that what? The effectual, fervent prayer of who? A righteous man. By the way, God wants us to come before Him and asking forgiveness of our sins and getting our slate clean so we can pray for somebody else. And we ought to pray as, by the way, two things that hinder our prayer, lack of faith and a lack of forgiveness. Two things, a lack of faith and a lack of forgiveness. That word effectual means this. It means powerful. It means activate. Here's what Webster said. Having adequate power or force to produce the effect. How do you activate that power? Well, you activate it by faith. When you activate that power, you become the associate of that power. You become one with it. When we say the term paramedic, the word paramedic, para means alongside of, medic means doctor. You're working alongside a doctor. You're a paramedic or whatever you may be. If you're called a parachurch organization, it works along with the church. It's working alongside of the associate of that power. We are the recipients of that power. When we, through faith and through forgiveness, we become the associate of this power. By the way, you can't walk around and go, I've got the power, and sing the song. Because that's the opposite of humility. Anybody who is boastful in pride, God says he cannot hear. He gives grace unto the humble. That's where I'm at. I need all the grace I can get. I activate the power of prayer through faith, and I become an associate of this power. He said the effectual fervent prayer. The word fervent means this. It means work, show forth, or put forth the power. It is the man who takes the power of prayer and he uses it. By the way, not for his own glory, but for others. By the way, I think I've told y'all this before, but I'm going to tell you again. My wife's in here, and I've told this story to a few people, and maybe I've told it to y'all before, but I'm going to tell you here, I've witnessed the power of prayer, personally. I mean, powerful prayer. When I was pastoring in Alabama, I had a family in my church call me and say, Grandma's not doing good, need you to come down and pray with her. I said, 10-4. I went down to the nursing home. Grandma's there, and Grandma's been suffering for a little while. And her son and daughter-in-law was there, and the grandkids were there. And everybody's older. And I said, well, let's gather around Grandma. We're going to pray for Grandma. And I knew Grandma, and we loved Grandma. Grandma was struggling. She really was. I forgot how old she was. She was 90-something. I don't know. But Grandma was just laying there, and as God is my witness, we gathered hands, and I said, let's pray. And I said, I'm not giving you some hocus pocus. I just felt like I ought to pray this way, and this is how I prayed. I said, dear Lord, we thank you for life. Thank you that you've given it to us. Thank you for this family. But God, I said, Granny's tired. And Lord, if it be your will to take her home right now, as God, my wife is my witness, she went, she gone. And I was still praying, and I heard the granddaughter go, she's gone. And I'm like, in Jesus' name, amen. They called me Dr. Gavorkian for a year. Nobody asked me. I said, can I pray with you? No, we're good. We're good. As God is my witness, she left this world just like that. Amen. They come in there and they said, she's gone. And I was like, uh-oh. I was like, where's the exit at? You know, you never know how family's going to react. And, of course, later on, we kind of laughed about it. And Granny was saved. And Granny lived a great life. She had great heritage that she left behind. And Granny was ready to go. She was ready to go. She was. And she even told him that. She said, I'm ready to go. And so we prayed that way. I'm telling you, prayer does work, but be careful how you use that power. Right? And I believe that there is power. By the way, I keep a journal of my prayers. And I don't do as good as I probably should, but I write dates out there beside things whenever I pray for things. And I love going back through my prayer journal and realizing when God answered this. By the way, God's answered some things in my prayer journal that were wants. And that's amazing to me that God would do that for me. And I had a lot of needs in there for not only myself and my family, but for other people. And by the way, some of you are in my prayer journal as answer prayer. I love when people call me and say, my son came to church today. We've been praying for him to come to church. I'm like, hallelujah, we'll mark that on there. And some of them I've right on there graduated. They've gone on to be with the Lord. That's okay too. You know, I haven't marked out Miss Pat yet. It takes me a little while to put graduated beside it. But you know what? God answered our prayer for healing. He didn't see fit to heal her here on this earth, did he? He said, I'll just heal her up here and it'll be an eternal healing. That's okay with me, Lord. Hallelujah. And listen to me. We are the associate of that power of prayer. And God allows us to be a part of something that is so powerful that we can get on our knees and say, Lord, would you be with so-and-so? Would you be with Miss D? Would you be with Miss... And I've been praying for Miss Elena. I just people come to your mind and come to your heart and you begin to pray for them. And then all of a sudden they call you on the phone and say, have you been praying for me? Because God just answered a prayer. And you're like, thank you. I don't go, yeah, I've been praying for you. Yep, that was me. Tried to get Angela to pray for you, but she wouldn't do it. Does anybody else need me to pray for you? You know what I mean? Who would be so foolish to do that? Notice what he said. He said, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that's ever accomplished, we just get to be an associate of it. I love being an associate pastor. You know what that really means? You do all the work, but yet you don't get blamed for it. There's one more office down the hallway. Right? I love that. Pastor comes to me sometimes and says, all right, what do you think about this? I go, I don't know. What do you think? Because I'm not the one that's going to be held accountable here. I give you my opinion, but at the end of the day, Pastor Eric Crawford, he's the man. I just get to be the associate. I just get to be there, right? Hey, hallelujah. When we're an associate of the power of God, that means we get to be a part of it. But it's not us who's doing it. It's Him, and He gets all the glory. By the way, all of us are associates of that power if we, through faith, believe. By the way, He said, and I should have wrote this verse down. Some of you can probably quote it better than I can, but my brain's going crazy right now. Where if we agreeing on one thing, it talks about the church is agreeing on one thing that God will answer and God will hear. That means we get to be an associates of the power of God through prayer. Some of the greatest things, I'm telling you, some of the greatest things I've ever seen happen in church is when a church got on their knees and they earnestly prayed. I was at a revival meeting. I'm telling you, I'll see if I can tell you this without... the Lord, or without me weeping, because I'm telling you, this touched my heart. I was preaching a meeting down in Alabama, and one of the youth girls, when I got there, the pastor had told me, he said, so-and-so in the youth department is praying for dad. Would you pray for him? I said, oh, I sure will. And he gave me his name, and we began to pray for him. They had been praying for her father. And I was preaching one night, and another preacher preached another night, and then so forth, so on. And that last night, here come her dad in that back door. I loved it because I watched the daughter over there. As soon as she saw him come in, she began to weep. She got up and she came to that altar. And she stayed at the altar the whole time the preacher preached. At the invitation, her dad, he tells the story later on. He said, I could not stand it. He said the Lord was dealing with my heart before I even left the house. And man, he came down and I never will forget it. Now, this is in the South. When he came down and the man took his Bible and did this, some people ran out the door. And you could hear them shouting out in the parking lot. Now, obviously, that's not what I would do. But I was shouting in my pew because I knew who that was when they did that. And then Pastor brought him up front. He said, tonight, so-and-so received Jesus Christ as their Savior. That girl was still praying. She didn't even know her father had gotten saved yet. Until she heard the pastor and she stood up and she went, he heard my prayer. He heard my prayer. Come hug her dad. I said, hallelujah. I got to be a part of that. I got to be an associate of the power of God. Let me give you the last thing. I got to hurry. Oh, Jesus, help us. Associate of the power of God. There's a lot more things I wanted to say there. Listen to me. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 34:15. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and the ears are open unto their cry." The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a man who is upright, a man who is just, a man who has cleaned his own slate. Listen, here's what the Bible says, that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. That's who I want to be. I don't want to muddy up my conduit. I don't want to stop it up. I want to be able to talk to the Father and be an associate of that power. Let me give you the last thing. I'll be done tonight. The availing of this power. Notice what the last part of that verse says. The effectual prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. You know, I kind of jumped ahead there, but availing much just simply means there are results from praying. Some of them are more, woohoo! Some of them are like, praise the Lord. Some of them are run a lap. I guarantee if my dad was to walk in the back of this church and get saved tonight after 25 years of praying for him, I'm going to run a lap. You don't like it, I don't care. You run with me or get out of my way, I'll run you over. Because hallelujah, the glory be to God. I'm telling you what, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, the one who associates himself with that power, listen, here's what happened. It availeth not a little. That's not what the Scripture said. Availeth much. That you don't know what God can do until you pray about it. You have no idea when it seems like you are up against the wall. Listen, to the people he was talking to the people who were persecuted, to the people who were at the bottom of the lake, of the pit, whatever you want to say there, the people who are so depressed, those who are sick. Listen, here's what can happen. God can do something in their life that you couldn't even think that he could do. I've seen God do some awesome things. I've seen him save some people that a lot of people said never will they get saved. I've seen God bring people back that have been gone for a long time. I've seen God do things in my own life and in my own family that all I can do is go, thank you, Lord. It availeth much. It gives us an example of the availing much. It goes down and talks about Elias, which is Elijah. He prayed there, and you can read that on your own there. And I think it's important that we understand it in 1 Kings there, chapter 17, where Elijah came and Elijah prayed that, Lord, you'd stop the rain for 3.5 years. Guess what God did? He stopped it. You know what the next chapter 18 is? It's a... They're in the midst of a drought. And Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel and says, we're going to have a showdown. He says, prophets of Baal against the God of heaven. And guess what? How he's going to try them? He's going to use water. He's going to use copious amounts of water. Isn't that something? You know why? Because he believed God. Then he prayed again later on, and guess what? God turned the faucet back on. I don't know about you. I ain't stopped no rain for 3.5 years. But I'm telling you what, if he can do it for Elijah, he can do it for you. You say, oh, I don't know if he can do it. I'm pretty sure if he can part the Red Sea for Moses and the children of Israel, pretty sure he can do anything. Matter of fact, I'm not pretty sure. I'm very sure that he can do anything. If he can save you from hell, he can do anything. My God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. I forgot about that song until just right there. We sing that song, we're like, nah, I don't really mean it. My God is, maybe he is, maybe he is. We just have to believe it. The availing much. The availing much. I'll stop there tonight. Let me ask you this. How's your fellowship of prayer? How's your fellowship with the Father in prayer? How much time do you give fellowshipping with the Father? You know, all of us do this. When we're at home, we don't want to be with our parents. Everybody's okay? It's a little secret. When you're home, you really don't, you know, you're like, But when you move out, guess who you miss the most? Your parents. The ones who you thought were just going, sure, there's these old people. That's what we used to think, you know. My mom was in her 20s, and we're going, you know, here's the old people trying to tell us this is what we're going to face. And then you get out, and you're like, wow, she was psychic. I live 12 hours from my mom. Sometimes that's a hallelujah. But most of the time it's not, right? I miss being able to just go over to mom's house or grandmother's house and go, what do you think about this? I miss those days. Sometimes when we lay a casket up here in front, a lot of us walk by it going, I should have went by there and saw her more. I should have called her more. I should have talked to him more. But what about our fellowship with the Father, whom time, space cannot separate us from? When I'm driving to work every day and my wife's not in the vehicle, I can have communication with her through a cell phone. But do you realize that at any moment of the time, day or night of time of day, I can get a hold of my Father and fellowship with Him? But yet I neglect that time. I know some of y'all are not going to believe this, but I talk to my Father at the gym every morning. Every morning I talk to Him. I put my little earbuds in this morning, and the only reason I put earbuds on is so nobody talk to me. That's what I do when I get on an airplane. I don't like to talk to people. I'm an introvert. But this morning, I put on my earphones, and usually I put a sermon on and I listen to it. But this morning, I put my earbuds in and it turned nothing on. And for 30 minutes of my morning, I didn't even realize that I was there 30 minutes. I'd already been on the little elliptical thing for a long time, and I was doing other stuff that you really can't tell that I do. But I had spent 30 minutes speaking to my Father, and I was just fellowshipping with Him. You know what? I didn't even realize how long I'd been talking to Him. Until I looked down at my watch this morning, I go, wow, I got to go. Man, it was so sweet this morning. I don't always have those mornings, but this morning was really good. You know why? It's because I got to talk to Him about some friends of mine. Some of you are in here, I prayed for you. Some people aren't in here. Some of them are in Florida. Some of them are in Alabama. Some of them are preachers around the world. I just began to pray for this morning. And I said, Lord, I will not ask anything of myself for myself today. And I didn't. And I just asked Him for the needs of others. Amen. Folks, I'll tell you what. You spend that time fellowshipping with the Father, I guarantee you, you'll forget about all the problems you have. You know what happened to me when I got in the car? I was like, man, my elbow's hurting now. It wasn't hurting a while ago. You know why? I forgot about it. Actually, it was this elbow. It's always that one. And don't forget about it. I was like, oh man, hamstring's a little tight. Sometimes you forget about the problems and trials in life when you just spend time with the Father. Don't forget you can activate it through faith, the power of prayer. You can be an associate of the power of God by being that righteous man that availeth much. The availing of God's power in your life, and you can see God work. You know what I've already started praying for? I started today because it was mentioned to me. I started praying for VBS. Can I encourage you to do that? And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to come the last night of VBS. Yeah. And I want you to see the unveiling of the power of God. When those souls, and they give the invitation to those little kids. Now some of them just come down there, we know. But I'll tell you, every year we have kids who are sincerely coming down to get saved. And I like to go, to be an associate of that. And trust me, it'll change your life. Let's stand tonight. Brother Chad's going to come and lead us in Hymn 113 after we pray. Father, we love You. And Father, I know that I stand here tonight not being one who has spent too much time with You in fellowship and prayer. God, I stand here tonight as one who needs to pray more and fellowship with You more. God, forgive me of, Lord, neglecting my time with You. And God, I pray tonight that this series, I know that, Lord, I know the devil tries to distract us in the moment of time of preaching and prayer. But God, I pray that You've captivated our hearts through this series. I know You have mine. Lord, You reiterated in my mind and in my heart tonight the power of prayer. And God, how we and I, especially, Lord, neglect that power. Father, I ask tonight that You break our hearts in the area of prayer, and that, God, You would not allow us to escape a day that we don't speak to You. Father, we be ever reminded of the power that lies in prayer. We love you, Lord, and ask that you'd help us now in this time of invitation. Amen. Hymn 113, Sweet Hour, prayer. Brother Chad's going to lead us in. So if you need to come tonight, come on. Sweet.